Well, welcome to the Collector Show. I'm Harold Nickel. It's that time for so many of us who are of the baby boom generation, helping our parents, assuming we're lucky enough to still have them around, decide what is junk and what is worthwhile, what goes to the curb and what goes to the auction house. We'll be talking about that with our guest coming up in the interview segment, David Maloney, who is really known for his resources in antique and appraisals. But he's going to take a snapshot from his own life and help us help our parents decide what goes and what stays and how we can even remain speaking to our siblings after the whole thing is over, coming up in the interview segment. There's a hot toy as we dive right into the news segment, the Bruce Banner figure. If you're not familiar with the comic, Bruce Banner is the Hulk. And Bruce Banner has just this really, really terrible lab accident and becomes the Hulk anytime he becomes angry. Well, a company called Hot Toys have come out with Bruce Banner, and they have fashioned him in the likeness of the actor who portrayed him, who is a guy named Mark Ruffalo. And those will be out just in time for Christmas. They haven't released what the price is going to be yet, but what we know from previous weeks on the program, they're pricey. There's an article I'm going to post on the Collector Show website, which is collectorshow.net with two S's, collectorsshow.net. And it's a article by a man whose name is John Whitefoot. And the title of the article is Investing in These Collectibles is a Better Bet Than Wall Street. So he talks about the do's and don'ts of investing. But the point he makes, and one of the things I want to constantly reinforce here on the Collector Show, is it's easier to predict the weather than it is to predict what's going to be hot and what's going to fetch a price more than what you paid for it with any collectible. There's people who make careers out of this. If you want to time the stock market, which, based on what I've learned over the years, is impossible, I think timing what's going to be hot in terms of collecting and making money at it will be just as hard. But I'll post Mr. Whitefoot's article on the collectorsshow.net website. And then finally, and I love this story, it's a story about a man in Kildare, Illinois, who is a dentist. His name is Steve Landman, and he suffers from a disease, and I'm going to try to pronounce it, anti-MAGIGM peripheral neuropathy. It's an autoimmune disease that attacks the nerves. So he has 10,000 comics. Okay, 10,000 comics that he's going to sell in an effort to raise enough money to fight this affliction. So it's an online auction, and like other things, I'll put this on the collectorsshow.net website. Some estimate that his collection is worth $500,000. Some people think that's low, but you know, we talked a number of weeks ago with another individual who had invented a comic book, Amphoman, to help out with his affliction, and this sort of grabbed my attention. So if you live in Illinois or in Kildare, get in touch with Steve Landman and buy a comic book, help him fight his peripheral neuropathy. Okay, that's it for news. Please visit the website, collectorsshow.net, and coming up, David Maloney, who will talk to us about preparing for auctions or the garbage man here on the Collector Show. I'm Harold Nickel. Well, in the interview segment of the Collector Show this week, we're going to meet a gentleman named Dave Maloney. Dave is a nationally known appraiser, author, television host, radio talk show guest, and veteran appraisal course writer and instructor. His reputation is based on 30 years of practical experience, extensive academic and personal study, writing, teaching, and lecturing. And he is a member of the Association of Online Appraisers and the past president and currently the secretary treasurer of the Association of Appraisers. And Dave Maloney, welcome to the Collector's Show.
Hi, Harold. Thanks for inviting me.
Now, I know that your stock and trade deals with appraisals, but we're going to deal with a topic that's somewhat different today. We're going to talk about the billions, if not trillions, of dollars worth of inheritance that baby boomers are looking to get from their parents, and a significant amount of that wealth is held in tangible properties, and a good bit of that is in the form of collections. And some of these collections are going to turn out to be extremely valuable and important, and some are not. But what we want to talk about with you today and kind of pick your brain are about your opinions on the responsibilities collectors have about their collections and their need to articulate what they want done with their things. Can you give us some pointers?
Sure. Julie Hall wrote a book called The Boomer Burden, and it really does a great job of explaining to the reader the responsibilities that us in the boomer generation have. And frankly, anybody who plans on downsizing or helping mom or dad to downsize also has. The issue of downsizing is hitting us really strong, hard now, because indeed us baby boomers are getting on and our parents are or have passed. I just recently finished selling my parents' estate. And what my situation was is probably pretty consistent with what other people are going to run into. It starts actually before mom and dad pass away. It starts with the need for siblings to be involved with their mom and dad's life and their decision-making process. Specifically, I'm speaking about mom and dad having a will, for instance.
Right.
And then some responsible sibling be responsible for, or the parents be responsible for getting a copy of that will to all the siblings, so everybody is on board as to what's going to happen with this collection. Another thing is that mom and dad should be preparing a list of items that they specifically want to go to specific children. This will save a lot of grief down the road when mom and dad pass and it comes time to divide up the property. If there are specific bequests that are made outside the will, having a list of items that mom and dad want to go to individuals is really important. So those two lists or those two items in place is essential. Secondly, the siblings need to be involved in their parents' lives to be alert to changes in their lifestyles to indicate that, well, mom and dad might be slipping a little bit. And then the responsible sibling can so inform the other siblings who might be living in different parts of the country. Maybe mom isn't taking her medication, or mom and dad are letting the garbage pile up, or they're starting to become forgetful.
Right.
All these are clues that something is going on, and there's going to be a time when the children are going to have to take part in helping mom or dad or both start to downsize and get rid of their things. Now, this downsizing process usually starts off with, hey, mom, can I take this bag of old newspapers to the trash with me and then throw it in the trunk of your car and take it away? It might be empty butter tubs. It might be some old paint cans, but just chipping away at this assortment of household goods bit by bit will go a long way to making that house ready, or that the contents of that house ready for the final downsizing when the time comes. Now, when the time does come, there are certain st- steps that the siblings can take when mom and dad are no longer there is trying to clean the house out and get rid of things.
Now, right.
It usually starts with the siblings making arrangements to gather in advance and start to clear out the property. It's great if all siblings can be there because they can keep an eye on each other, frankly. And if, especially with families where the trust factor is maybe a little bit lacking.
Right.
Having all siblings present to do this downsizing effort is very important. You bring your old clothes, your work gloves, your black plastic trash cans. And what you usually start out doing is taking the hazardous materials, the paints, the medications, perhaps, and disposing those in the proper fashion. So now we got rid of all the hazardous materials. And then you go through and pull out all the trash. And then you put the trash out in the yard in a big pile and have somebody come and pick up all the trash. But you have to know what the trash is. Some of the trash can be pretty obvious, like old newspapers and those butter tubs I talked about. Other things, though, will be less obvious, and maybe you're going to have an appraiser come in and do a walkthrough, which we can talk about later. So you have the hazmat material gone. You have the trash gone. Now, what's left are the items that perhaps the siblings are going to want. So you're going to take out those items that mom and dad intended Joe and Mary to take with them. So now those items that the children are going to take are now gone. So what you have left in the house now are items which are useful to somebody. Some of the items are of Goodwill Salvation Army quality,
mm-hmm.
and those items can be separated out, and you can have Goodwill come and take those away. What's left, though, are probably the most valuable items, which have some sort of which are appreciable in nature. They're the antiques and the collectibles, maybe the artwork. Those are the kinds of things where you're going to have to sell and sell in a responsible manner. And oftentimes that entails having a reputable auctioneer come in and work with you to move and sell those items.
Okay, so, but it sounds like the best thing to do, or the smart play here, is to list things, be they household furnishings or cars or things like that, and who's going to get what well in advance while everyone is clear-headed and not emotional, and
very
then also get to the collections and the collectibles, because like I said at the outset, you know, some people have collections that are important, worthwhile, and ought to be preserved, and then there's others that are fun, but mm-hmm. none of those other things, not important, not worthwhile.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, what I've heard and read is that the kids aren't always necessarily as invested in a collection as the parent.
That's often the case.
So when you have an instance where mom or dad have a collection and that junior isn't interested in, what should mom and dad do to find out, A, is it worth hanging on to, and if it is, what do I do?
That's a good question, and unfortunately that's the big dilemma that we're seeing today. We have fewer and fewer collectors coming into the business of collecting, and as a result we have a lot of collections that are coming on the market. But how do siblings, or how do the children know what's of value in this collection and what isn't of value? What I recommend is that at some point in this process, either before mom and dad pass or after they pass, is that the estate brings in a qualified appraiser from a recognized appraisal society who does what's called a walkthrough. Now, the walkthrough is an overview, a quick overview that the appraiser can provide to the client the client has a clipboard, takes notes as the appraiser walks through, rummages through the drawers, pulls out the sterling silver pieces that are in the kitchen flatware drawer, looks in the cupboards and pulls out pieces of Noritake china that's mixed up with a bunch of everyday plastic dishes.
Right.
Who can go through the garage and pull out that old Stanley number one wood plane from amongst a bunch of other metal tools, woodworking tools. But the appraiser can do this walkthrough. They're typically paid at an hourly rate. And the children or the client takes notes, either with a video recorder or with a audio recorder or just on a clipboard. So there's no written appraisal. It's called an oral appraisal. It's an oral evaluation of what is there, and it goes pretty quickly. What that does is it gives the client peace of mind knowing what is important and what is not important.
So
from that point on, then the children can decide, well, these are important. Maybe I want to keep those even though I'm really not interested in this stuff. It apparently is important and valuable, and perhaps I want to keep it and pass it on to my children. Also in this process, the local appraiser who's doing this walkthrough might be able to point out items which are relevant or significant to the locale. Maybe the Historical Society would like to have this particular piece of furniture or this particular document that's been uncovered if there's no interest among the siblings of keeping it. So there are a lot of benefits of obtaining the services of a qualified appraiser to do what we call a walkthrough. Now, these appraisers might be dealers. They might be auctioneers. Indeed, appraising is often an adjunct service provided by auctioneers and dealers and downsizing experts. Consignment shop owners, jewelry store owners. I have heard that some people are concerned that dealers and auctioneers do the appraisal. Well, that could be an issue. But what I'm talking about is using an appraiser who is trained in the standards of appraising, which is USPAP, which stands for the Uniform Standards of Professional Appraisal Practice, who belongs to a recognized appraisal society, who has a designation that's been awarded by that society and knows the ethical obligations of, for instance, not appraising things that you intend on buying.
Right.
So finding this appraiser is not too difficult to do. You can search the websites of the International Society of Appraisers, the Association of Online Appraisers, the American Society of Appraisers, Appraisers Association of America. There are several websites that people can search to find a designated appraiser. Call them up, ask them if they would come over and do a walkthrough.
And nothing says
identify
that
identify the items which are important.
Yeah, and nothing says you can't get two or three different appraisals.
Yeah, just like a medical opinion,
sure.
You can get more than one opinion. That's for sure.
And it also sounds like there's things that the appraiser may recognize that are in plain sight that could be of value as an antique or, as you say, a document or interesting set of tools that you've been looking at your whole life and might not realize, hey, that's rare, valuable, and important.
That is so important. That's such an important point that very few people know what they own, much less what the value of it is, and I'm speaking of the appreciable kind of products such as antiques and collectibles. They don't know it in their own homes, much less perhaps in their mom and dad's home that they haven't been in for 20 or 30 or 40 years.
Right.
So having somebody come in who can recognize these things is will prevent those things from being thrown out.
It's sort of like
given to Goodwill.
And you see this on Antiques Roadshow, of someone will come in with a piece and it will turn out to be, oh, I saw one where it was a piece of furniture that had been handmade in Pennsylvania in the 1600s, and the guy said, you know, I've been setting my coffee on that.
Yeah,
so.
that's right, sure.
Now, there's also instances where there are collections, and we talked about the fact that some of these are
you know, important to the collector, and he or she wouldn't sell them for any price. But, you know, when you're gone, you're gone. What is some good advice for heirs who inherit a collection of gems or pieces of art or even baseball cards, comic books, things like that? What kind of advice do you have for us with respect to those?
Well, there are national clubs for just about any category of collectible, whether it's back scratchers or art glass or these baseball cards or toy trains or Barbie dolls. You can contact these collector clubs and get some ideas on how they could best be sold. There are also specialized auction houses. Mannion's Auction House out in Kansas specializes in selling militaria. There are Therios in the Annapolis area specializes in selling dolls. So there are specialty auction houses in addition to those general auction houses who will sell anything. But there are specialty auction houses. So if you have a collection of Civil War muskets, it might be or Civil War artifacts, it might be a good idea to contact an auction house that is known to specialize in selling Civil War items. The same thing with dolls and militaria and stained glass. And so, but the bottom line is that if you contact a local qualified appraiser who is a member of an appraisal society and who is doing this walkthrough without the intent of purchasing it themselves, they can advise the estate as to who can best sell those items, either within that locale or in some other part of the country if the collection is so specialized that it needs to be moved to for the most lucrative sale
right
on the other part of the country, for instance.
Now, are you aware of or have you heard about instances where somebody owned an important collection and the youngsters or the kids, the heirs, had no idea what it was or what they were looking at and that it just got away?
Yes, what will happen is that when the obituary hits the paper, the estate starts to get contacted by dealers who want to purchase. And they'll oftentimes come in and make what sounds like tempting offers, cash, and the siblings end up selling to the first dealer who comes in the door and
mm-hmm.
gets a lot of money. But that's what you don't want to do.
Right.
You don't want to be taken advantage of. But that's the one scenario that will happen. But also another issue is that if there is ill will between the siblings, if there is no list as to where mom and dad wanted these things to go, if one sibling is in charge and others give him free hand, when you combine all those elements, regardless of how, on what good terms the siblings are, there's an opportunity there for contention.
Sure.
Where did mom's ring go? Wasn't there a piece of artwork here on the wall? What happened to that figurine that was on top of the dresser? Those kinds of questions start to rise, and that's why I strongly encourage that parents have a will, that they have a list of items that they want to go to selected individuals, that the siblings stay in close contact and communicate amongst each other as to what's going on, and that they all be present during these critical times.
And I get back to make decisions when you're thinking clearly and not under a lot of emotional duress, because there's nobody who's grieving the loss of a loved one that's really going to make the best decisions that they're capable of. And I know of instances where, like you say, somebody comes in and they say, look, just take it. I can't be mm-hmm. bothered with it at the moment. The clear-headedness of being as rational as you're capable of and making these decisions in advance and writing it down and letting everybody know, here's where the list is and these are the things I want Junior to have the watch and the other kid to have the necklace and cousin gets the painting, and having all that sorted out in advance will likely prevent acrimony and ill will later on.
That's a good point. Also, it doesn't take much nowadays to walk through the house and document everything with a camera. It's often done, so at least all the siblings know that what was in the china cupboard has been recorded.
Uh-huh.
What was on top of Mom's dresser is recorded.
Right.
So all the siblings can be given a copy of it, so they're all put on alert. This is what's in the house. We'll divide it when the time comes, but this is what's in there today.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about, since this has been such a heavy conversation so far, how do we break the news to our parents, relatives, that their collection of Dale Earnhardt plates, which are dear to them, aren't really important culturally?
What you do is you just don't tell them.
Just don't say anything. Yeah.
A lot of people have collected items which have been promoted as not a get-rich-quick scheme, but certainly a collectible that is appreciating in value. Collector plates always comes to mind, but quickly on the heels of that coming to mind, those false promotions are auctions that I've seen with 8-foot-long work tables set up table after table after table, and each of them covered with hundreds and hundreds of collector plates.
Yep.
I think the Gone with the Wind sold for $23.95, but other than that, they averaged about 50 to 75 cents a piece.
Man.
Yet they're selling for $19.95 originally, or maybe $49.95, with the promise that, well, this is a potential highly valuable collectible. So,
well,
getting on the ground floor.
And there's companies that are very good at making their products look like they'll be collectible. You get a certificate
mm-hmm.
with it, and it's
mm-hmm.
numbered and all this kind of mm-hmm. stuff, but it's not,
sure.
I mean, it's not an important collectible. If they mailed you an order form, it's probably not an important collectible. Wouldn't you agree?
No, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands of them made. What people oftentimes don't understand is that, well, it looks like it might be a collectible on the surface, but then think of the thousands that are made, the tens of thousands of that plate that are made, and how many collectors are there out there who really want that plate? Well, obviously very, very few. So, but those certificates of authenticity, the fancy packaging, the silver plating of stamps, and oh my gosh, and the vinyl covers, they do a great job of promoting it, and as long as you're purchasing it with the intent of enjoying it for its use, for its face value, and not with the intention of making a lot of money sometime down the road if you ever try to sell it, then you're fine.
Right.
But don't purchase those things as an investment, because they're not.
Yeah, and that's the thing we talk about on this program all the time, is that if you enjoy collecting stamps, coins, art, do it because you enjoy it, not because you think you're going to make money at it, because unless you really make a career out of it, literally,
right.
you're probably not going to.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Well, Dave, let's shift gears, and let's mm-hmm. talk about how listeners can be in touch with you and take advantage of some of your expertise.
Well, folks can contact me at davidmaloney.com. That's D-A-V-I-D. MALONEY.com.
And
just email me if they have any questions about what we've been talking about. I'd be more than happy to respond.
And tell us about the Maloney's directory. Is that still around and viable? And
well, yes, it is. For many, many years, 14 years, I published Maloney's Antiques and Collectibles Resource Directory, last published it, the seventh edition, in 2002. I still have people clamoring for a copy of that older, or that last seventh edition, even though it's quite out of date. But a lot of libraries enjoy it. So what I did a few years ago is I went ahead and put it online.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's available on a subscription basis at maloneysdirectory.com. It is a resource directory of names, email addresses, phone numbers, snail mail addresses for tens of thousands of resources in the antiques and collectibles business. For instance, who sells it, who auctions it, who specializes in it, what periodicals focus on that particular area, who repairs it, who makes parts for it. The list goes on, but that's available now at Maloney's Online.
Wow.
I'm sorry, maloneysdirectory.com.
And you keep it up to date, and it's online,
yeah,
so it's...
Yeah, it's constantly being updated. People come, people go, people change addresses and email addresses, so we're constantly working on it. It's never a completed project. It's always a work in progress.
Well, maybe those 2002 versions will someday be collector's items.
Well, I would hope so, but not if you look at the prices some of them bring on Amazon for a used copy. It's pretty reasonable.
Okay, but if we really want, all fooling aside, if we really want the contemporary stuff, go online.
Yes, at maloneysdirectory.com.
Outstanding. Well, Dave Maloney, I've really enjoyed chatting with you today on the Collector's Show, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us.
You're welcome, Harold. I really enjoyed speaking with you, too.
Stay tuned for a final word here on the Collector. Well, that'll do it for this edition of the Collector's Show. In the weeks to come, we'll be talking about Hot Wheels, the Civil War, and Civil War collectibles. Hopefully cars, if I can track that individual down. And of course, if you have an idea about what you'd like to hear about on the Collector's Show, send me an email, haroldnickel@gmail.com. Also, we post news that's important to collectors on the website throughout the week, collectorsshow.net. Please visit there. Come back next week for another edition of the Collector's Show here on Web Talk Radio. For the gang at Web Talk Radio, including my friend Brad Saul, I'm Harold Nickel. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.